We are joined by Jeff O'Brien, attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, got a lot of sports going on here. We've got the Vikings, the Gophers, the Twins, your Tommies, who, by the way, after its season-opening win, they've, run off three straight wins, or is it four?
Three straight now.
And they are a D1 team, and the only D1 team in Minnesota to win a game this Saturday. The Gophers.
Yeah.
Just when you think, this is like, just like the Vikings, just when you think it's safe to say, my God, we have a great college football team, in town or in the state, they fall flat. They lose 20-10 to Purdue. And again, is this, the Wisconsin fired their coach, Nebraska fired their coach. P.J. Fleck better watch out, he doesn't lose in a game or he's going to get fired. No, he's
not. Well, I think obviously, you know, we've talked about on the show before, Bob, about how valuable Mo is to the team, and they're good for 10 points without him. You know, you can lose your number one receiver, but you can't lose him. And I understand he was dressed, but was a game time decision, and they held him out due to an injury last week. But you got to be able to step up. You got to have the next man up. You can't have this completely reliant on one person, where if they don't play, this is what you get.
And Mo is Muhammad Ibrahim, for people wondering. They're correct. Great, 32-year-old, 35-year-old running back. It just seems like he's been around forever, and he has. But he is a terrific running back.
Right. Yep. So unfortunately, the Gophers lost to Purdue. Hopefully, on a positive note, maybe this is the loss that shakes them up, so that they go the rest of the way without having these issues. You know, this is the kind of their comeback to earth type game, and we see a better performance going forward. They make some adjustments, hopefully. St. Thomas, happy that they won their Pioneer League opener against Marist out of California. So, we got one of the D1 teams. I want one of these weekends where both my D1 teams and the Vikings all win. I always get 2 out of 3. So
you ask for a lot. And, your Vikings, they played a team that had some bad coaching decisions. This week they played a team with the old the clankety clank, the double doink, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. I mean, they've won, and good. See, I've been saying this for years, so I cannot not say it. In this case, for the Vikings, good teams find a way to win close games, and they've had two close games back to back, and they did win. So you have to give them some credit there. I was not overwhelmed by their performance, but they did get it going. They got Justin Jefferson involved again after two games where he was lost in the shuffle there. So, again, they're 3-1, and that's, you can't complain about it. And I didn't realize it's the first time they've been 3-1 since 2016. So it's been some rough starts.
At the end of the day, all that matters is the win, whether you won or lost. So, 3-1's a good record. The two things I thought of during the game, they're playing in London yesterday, so it could have been that they were doing some homage to soccer by winning with kicks. That'd be one thing.
And losing with kicks, in the case of the Saints.
And then the other thing that reminded me of the game, you played a part in the post-game interview, Bob. When Bernsey had his profanity-laced tirade way back when, after they won, there was a game that they won back during his days
against the Rams.
All field goals. Yep, all field goals.
Yes, there was.
We didn't get a similar outburst from O'Connell at the end, so I was a little disappointed about that. But it's hard to that's an iconic post game tirade. You're not gonna equal that. But no, it was. And also, they lose their. I think it's pretty safe to say they've lost their first round draft pick for the rest of the season.
Oh my God, that it looked like his leg just was snapped, and when it was bent over. So, and I thought it was his ankle, but it was a lower leg fracture. And I assume he did fly back with the team, but that was horrible.
No, he is. You cannot travel with that kind of way. So he and as I understand it from the post game, I was in the post game on the radio. He and a team doctor remain in London. He is not cleared to fly yet.
Okay. Oh, I didn't. I guess I didn't realize that. So it obviously it is. But he's gonna. Did they do surgery there?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. So it's already.
That's the type of injury where I think you have to have immediate surgery, or you can have some very serious consequences.
Oh boy, yeah, that's it was a bad injury, and it's just it's too well. Obviously, it's too bad that the poor guy went through that. So.
Yeah,
we were wondering, will he play? Well, maybe September of 2023, because he's not going to be back this year, no question.
No,
that happened on special teams.
No,
and absolute shame that that happened to him. Now I'm going to switch over for a moment to your Twins, and they're obviously done. You know, horrible the way they collapsed, and really the collapse began months ago. It's just that neither Cleveland nor Chicago made a big move until later in the season. But Carlos Correa, you and I were talking off the air about it, and he's basically saying, hey, you pay me the big money, I'll stay. Well, you know what? It's a ploy by him and his agent. He has no intention of staying, and they're already paying him big money, and they didn't win the division with him getting. If they'd won the division giving him big money, then maybe they should have thought about it, but let him go, and don't let him get leverage.
This team was always built with an eye towards 2023. I still contend that they believed when they were signing Correa that they would not be in contention and they could dump him at the deadline for some more prospects. And of course that didn't happen, you know, and it further complicated things because of the little stunt they did putting Royce Lewis in center field where he got hurt again. Now I've heard that they've done a procedure on Royce's knee this time that he's basically bionic down there. So I'm ready to move on from Carlos Correa. I think Palacios can fill in at shortstop until Royce is healthy. You know, Royce is not going to be ready at the beginning of next season, but you know, a month or two in, he'll be ready to go. So we've seen him. I think we're ready to move on from this and use that money elsewhere. You got Gio Urshela, who had a great season, that is going to be due arbitration. You want to re-sign him because as much as they like Jose Miranda, he's not the defensive player that Urshela is.
No.
So there's better ways to use that. There's better ways to use that money. And, you know, this in terms of their season, they just, you know, you can't win with that many injuries. I think I saw something like they used like 60 players and I forget how many, you know, pitchers. And they're one player away from setting a record for the number of first-year players they've used. You know, you just can't sustain that way. And, you know, the coaching staff is still suspect in managing the pitching, you know, letting these guys go, you know, four or five innings and pulling them out. You know, when you have that, they had a point earlier in the season where they were rolling, they had to win more of those games. They didn't. And now they're going to end up watching Cleveland in the playoffs.
And that's what you've just said about five times more things than we needed to be said about these bunch of losers. And let me ask you this question. What analytics-based team, which the Twins are, what's the last one to win the World Series where they went so hard with analytics? I mean, maybe all over the last 10 years, but this analytics thing, to me, you got to have a manager, and you did in Gardenhire, and you certainly did in Tom Kelly, guys who manage with their brains and their guts.
Right.
Or their gut.
Right.
You know, what they know is right because they've been around baseball long enough. It's not a knock on Rocco. It's just a knock on the whole idea of this analytics. Sometimes it just, you got to go with the feel of the game, and they don't.
Totally agree.
Now, I want to close this up with, I mean, it's horrible. Over almost 80, probably over 80 people now died. Mm-hmm. Many of them drowned in the storm in Florida. And you and I were talking about, and many people saw it, there was that photo, and it looked like tens of thousands of electric trucks lined up ready to go to work to restore electricity. And you need to, in order to power those trucks, you need to have gas, fuel, fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You can't power them with electric when there's no electric in the area to power them. And this whole thing, what they're doing in California is, frankly, folly. By saying in 2030, no more gas-powered furnaces and heaters, and you're out of your minds out there in California.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that you know, it's gonna, something bad is going to happen out there, and the federal government's going to have to be involved, and that means our tax dollars involved in that too. You know, this the Florida's a good, you know, you saw that I saw that picture with all the power trucks. I saw it's been turned into a meme that says none of these run on electricity. Kind of shooting back at the electric vehicle thing. And I've also saw there was somebody, there was a photo posted of somebody in their Tesla with a license plate that said, "Ew, gas," you know, kind of making fun of, you know, filling up 5 gas cans to go power their generator that's currently running their house. So, you know, you got to be sensible about this stuff. We saw that in Texas a couple of years ago, Bob, when, you know, when their grid went, their electric grid went down and took down the whole state. You just got to be smart about your energy options. And yeah, do we want to not be so dependent on fossil fuels? Probably. But, you know, we got to have a conversation that involves all of it. And that includes nuclear too. I mean, we're talking about what's the safest, most efficient power source. And yet we always run screaming from nuclear. So, no, there's this idea that we're going to power the world on electricity is just,
It's folly. Speaking of folly, yeah. It's folly. All right, Jeff, thanks so much. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Carrying Brown. We will take a quick break in the BS show. Be right back. We got more Vikings coming up.